Okay, with the Holy Spirit. Welcome to Every Nation Church Penang. It's an honor to and a privilege to stand here in front of you again today. These are the learning objectives of what we are focusing on. The church will know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church will understand what it means to live with or without the Holy Spirit. And the church will develop a greater desire to grow in their daily walk with the Holy Spirit. I hope as we finish next week, we will grasp the totality of the things that the Lord wants us to learn in this series. All right, so let's all stand up as we give reverence to the Word of God. Let's all read Ephesians 5:15-21. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but unwise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we tackle today the third topic about anoint, O Lord God, I pray, O Lord God, prepare us, O Lord God, to hear your message. Give us, Lord, a receptive heart, O Lord God, that is ready to apply what we hear today, O Lord God, in our daily lives, O Lord. Anoint my lips, O Lord God. Help me, Lord, to interpret your words to the exactness of the message you want me to deliver today. We commit to you, Lord, this time. We commit to you, Lord, this message. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let's see. Now, as you see here, week one, Pastor talked about thirst, and week two, Pastor talked about walk. Today, we're going to talk about anoint. Now, I want you to imagine this car. Okay? This is you. Okay? How are you in your walk in your Christian life? Are you stagnant like this one? You know why there are four topics there? You cannot run the car with one wheel. You cannot run the car with two wheels. You cannot run the car with three wheels. You need all four. So that's why you need to be thirsty. You need to walk. You need to be anointed. You need to continuously pray. Because without one of them, you are an incomplete Christian. Your life will be stagnant, stuck. Okay? So I want you to reflect, is my Christian life stagnant? Is my Christian life growing, moving forward, or are you backsliding already? So that's why each one component of being filled with the Holy Spirit is essential for your daily walk in life. You cannot have one only and then the three you don't have. You must have four to move forward. Okay? So, have your four wheels together. It's a good reminder to us that all four are equally important. Okay? So now, anoint. Okay. Anoint, in the dictionary, it means to pour oil upon, to smear, to rub over with oil with unctuous substances, also to spread over as oil, to consecrate by function or to use of oil or to smear or dab. Okay, to prepare in allusion to the consecrating of oil. So I still remember there's one pastor that when I was still young, he is the one who shared the gospel to my mom, to my grandpa, and I still remember we call him Tatang. So this pastor one time visited our house, okay, put oil on his hand and prayed for me because I was sick. So you can also do those things, anoint people. But you will see here that there's a lot of anointing circumstances in the Bible, okay? Consecration to a holy or sacred use or religious purposes. So they anoint everything, the temple, everything that is used in the temple, they use it, okay? The high priest and the king, okay? They are being anointed. So if you will remember that Samuel was asked by God to anoint David as king, okay? And then how Samuel anointed Saul, okay? Okay, anointing a king equivalent to a crowning him as well, okay? Anointing of prophets, you will see there. There is also war tradition where they will anoint their shields with oil as they go to battle, okay? It is also an act of hospitality. So if you will look at Luke, it is an act of hospitality, okay? It is also an act for hygiene and grooming, okay? For medical purposes, there's a lot of uses of oil. I was once in CMAC Center this Friday, and they said that the oil of a sea cucumber is good for healing wounds. Okay, so it's also used for medical purposes. It's also used for burial traditions where Jesus, when he was buried, he was embalmed with oil as well. And then Jesus, the promised deliverer, is twice called the anointed or Messiah, if you will, as he was foretold in the Old Testament. He is the anointed Messiah. And Jesus anointed with the Holy Ghost, as you can see in Isaiah 61 verse 1, and Jesus, the anointed one. So there's a lot of instances in the Bible that there is a lot of anointing. Now, what does it mean to be anointed by the Holy Spirit? And this is what we're going to study today. Number 1.1. Believe in Jesus, for he is the anointed one. As you can see in Isaiah 61 verse 2, and as you parallel it to Luke 4:18-19, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering the sight of the blind, to set the liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You will see also in Isaiah it's the same. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me." The first step to be anointed is to believe in Jesus Christ. Because you cannot be anointed if Christ is not in you. You cannot say that you are filled with the Holy Spirit when in the very first place you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you are first time here and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, later, please approach any one of us and we will share Christ to you. And if you have friends that are not yet Christians, the Lord is telling you, share the gospel to them so that they too will believe in the anointed one, who is Jesus Christ.
That's the first step to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't have that relationship at the very first place. So we have to believe in the Anointed One. You know that the Greek word for anoint is charisma, which means related to the title of Jesus Christ, which means the Anointed One, the Messiah. Point number two, Jesus anoints us with His Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 1, 21-22 says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and He has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us, given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." There's a lot of things, right? You won't buy a thing if it is not, there's no seal of approval. Right? If it doesn't have a brand, you won't buy a thing because you will not know the quality of it. If it is passed to the standards of what the law is and doesn't have a seal or certificate, you will not buy it. And here, the Bible is telling us that because Jesus, okay, is the Anointed One, Christ has anointed us. Therefore, when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ has anointed you. And He has put a seal on us. Tell to your neighbor, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit because when you accepted, we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are sealed by His Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that alone is the guarantee that we have for eternal life. In Ephesians 1, 11 to 14 says, "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of Him, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him too, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." Imagine, the first to hope in Christ, who believed in Him, you are now sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, a guarantee of our inheritance. Inheritance. Imagine, we don't need these earthly bodies because one day you will have glorified bodies. You will have eternal life. Amen to that? Yes. That is the guarantee. That's the key to having eternal life. Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ will give you His Holy Spirit, and that is the guarantee of our inheritance. What an amazing God we have. Number three, the Holy Spirit anoints us with knowledge. In 1 John 1:20-27, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." In verse 27, "But the anointing that you receive from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about everything, and is true, and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in Him. Imagine when you receive the Holy Spirit, God has given you His knowledge. The knowledge to make right decisions, to make holy decisions in your life, to make sensible decisions in your life. God has given you that knowledge. How to live this life according to His will. If you will go back in Ephesians 5, 15 to 27, everything there, being filled with the Holy Spirit, all the verses in 15 to 19, all leads to being filled with the Holy Spirit and living a Christian life. And you will have that discernment to make those decisions. You will have those discernment to do what is right, because the knowledge of the Lord is in you, because the Holy Spirit of the Lord is in you. All you need to do is, like, His anointing teaches you about everything, and it's true and it's no lie. Imagine that. All you need to do is abide. The question is, are we abiding in the truth? Or you still have your own thing? Do you read your Bible to hear His instructions? Because the Bible is filled all of His instructions. You know, when you read, especially the New Testament, it's most of the context of it is about daily Christian living. From the epistles of Paul to the epistles of John, everything is about Christian living. And are we reading God's Word? The question is, reflect in your among yourselves. Are you reading God's Word daily? Are you hearing His instructions? Because if you're not reading your Bible, how will you know, how will you be knowledgeable if you are not reading God's Word? If you are an engineer, if you and you need to do something, you do a research. Because you want to be knowledgeable. That's the same. The Lord has given you all the knowledge in the Scriptures. But if you will not access it, how will you hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life if you are not reading God's Word? Point number four. The Holy Spirit anoints us to be powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Take note of this, powerful witness. Not just a witness. God wants you to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Among you here, when asked, are you a Christian? You're just then they say yes, like you're eating your words, right? God wants you to be a powerful witness for Jesus Christ. In Acts 10, verse 38 to 39, for God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit, with power. Imagine that. with the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that. He did both in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. And in Acts 1:8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When you receive the Holy Spirit, church, you are also empowered. The Holy Spirit is not just an entity that enters you, but the Holy Spirit also empowers you to do such things. Even though you're not a pastor, you are capable of praying for those who are sick, that they will be healed. You are there to intercede to others so that they will be blessed. My daughter Rainbow got sick this week. We have to rush her to the hospital last Sunday, 12 midnight. And then it was just on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. She was diagnosed with RSV. She was diagnosed with pneumonia. She was also diagnosed with influenza B. Every time, it's like the whole week, it will spike to 40, go down to 36.9, spike again to 39, go again. It's like up and down. Wednesday, I told the Lord, Lord, I just need one good news, one good news, one good news. And that night, I prayed, before I left the hospital, I prayed so boldly and asked the Lord, in Jesus' name, whatever sickness in my daughter, in Jesus' mighty name of Nazareth, I command you to go out of my daughter. When I left, it dropped to 36.1. And never again did it have she have any spike of temperature. We also have. Amazing, right? We have an amazing God. And what God is telling you, you have the power too, to pray for those who are sick. You might not know, the Lord will bring you to another place, and you will, like what's happening in Acts, they were able to speak in different languages because God is using them to preach the gospel. God is giving you that power. The question is, are you tapping on it? Are you accessing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that they also will know that Christ is alive, that we serve the one true living God? So that's why I bold everything here. Look carefully how you walk, making the best use of time. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God, and submitting to one another. Everything there is about living a Christian life. And we can only do that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, as I close today, let us remember the four things that we have learned today. Number one is believe in Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Number two, Jesus anoints us with His Holy Spirit. Point number three, the Holy Spirit anoints us with knowledge. And point four, the Holy Spirit anoint us to be powerful witness for Jesus Christ. Everything that is happening in your life, God wants to use you so that people will hear the good news, so that they also may be filled with the Holy Spirit. Church, as I close today, I will give you this verse. And if you will read Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up, church. Wake up. How long have you been a Christian? How long have you been stagnant as a Christian, that you are happy going to church and then go home? My checklist is done. God is telling you, wake up, church. Wake up. Because you have been sleeping for so long and nothing is happening in your Christian life. And as you wake up, the Lord is telling you, arise. Do something about it. You know, when my daughter will ask her to wake up, you're awake and yet your eyes are just open. That's a different story. When you are awake, God is telling you today, His instruction for you, His challenge for you today, God is telling you, wake up from your slumber. And God is telling you, rise up. Because when you rise up, people will see that Jesus Christ is in you. And when Jesus Christ is in you, they will shine. The name of Christ will shine your life. That is what God wants us to do today. Wake up, arise, and shine the name of Christ in your life. I hope today's message about being anointed is clear to you. Let's all stand up and let's pray. Lord, we are here, Lord God, as your children. Forgive us, O Lord God. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us if we were sleeping, O Lord God. Forgive us, O Lord God, if you see in us that we are stagnant, O Lord God, in our Christian lives and nothing is happening. Just like the song, "Jesus, I come, I surrender." Lord, we as a church humbly bow down before you. We continue to surrender our lives to you, Lord God. Anoint us, O Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, O Lord. Empower us, O Lord God. Wake us up, O Lord, from our slumber. Wake us up, O Lord God, that there will be fire of revival in our church, O Lord God. That we will not be sleeping Christians anymore, but rather on fire Christians. Awake, O Lord God, for you. Awake, O Lord God, for you. Rising up, O Lord God, for you, so that people around us will see you in us, O Lord God. Will see you in us, O Lord God. I pray, O Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name, O Lord, wake us up, O Lord. Help us to rise up, O Lord, and shine your name so brightly in our lives, in our workplaces, in our community, in our families, O Lord God, so they will come to know you, Lord, as well as their Lord and Savior, and that they will see that you are living in us, O Lord, alive, O Lord. So right now, Lord God, we're here, Lord God. Forgive us. Wake us up, O Lord. Empower us, O Lord God, with your Holy Spirit.